Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be joined by Belmont basketball coach Casey Alexander coming up at 8:30. Have Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka coming up at 8:45 during this hour as well. So a lot to get to on that front. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about where things sit right now in the AFC. Baltimore, the number one seed at 8-3 at the moment. But we've also talked about how there's not really a team in the AFC that doesn't have warts to this point. There's not been a dominant team all season long. Titans have gone from the number one seed to now 8-4, dropping two games in a row. Injuries have decimated them. Baltimore keeps finding ways to win games, so you got to give them credit. But, man, they looked ugly the other night. The Patriots have won six games in a row. They're the darlings of the AFC at the moment. But I think we would all agree, based on the way things have played out so far this year, not a team in the AFC that's really fully trustworthy at this point. And then you go to the NFC. Arizona's on top at 9-2, Green Bay at 9-3, the defending Super Bowl champs at 8-3 with Tampa Bay. The Rams have been on a skid as of late. How many teams in the NFL do you fully trust at this point? Are there any teams that you fully trust at this point in the NFL to be absolutely consistent and be factors to the end?
There's one.
What's that?
The Detroit Lions. I trust them. I trust that they will get it done.
I'm sure you
and get
do.
The one seed or the one seed. Get the number one pick in a year that you almost spit your Diet Coke there.
I did.
In a year that having the number one pick actually isn't that awesome to have. But hey, of course.
I mean,
on the good side, who do I trust? You're talking about the whole NFL, right?
The entire league.
I think my number one team is who I had number one in my power rankings, which is your Green Bay Packers. Because they play good defense. They give up some big plays, but they play good defense. They can run the ball, and they have probably the best quarterback. So they're, to me, the most trustworthy team. I don't know that they're going to win it. Arizona could get them back in the playoffs. Certainly Brady could get them again. I'm starting to lose, you know, faith in like the Rams and Cowboys, but we'll see. They could both still be there too when it comes down to it. But I think that's the most trustworthy team. Trustworthy in the AFC? I'll be honest, if the Titans get players back, I think I would put them number one.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are trustworthy in kind of a way like the Titans. They, you know, defense and physicality and running the ball are part of their formula, and I think that always is are all nice things to have in January. But I mean, I still think the Patriots are like a 10-11 win kind of team. I think they have limitations on them that the Titans don't necessarily have, but we'll see if the Titans can get to the point where they're not limited by their own physical issues.
I trust two teams in the NFL.
Okay.
I trust the Green Bay Packers, and I trust the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are the two teams I trust in the NFL. Arizona is really, really good. I still, when playoff time comes around, are they going to be able to win those big games? I don't know. They're really good. And everybody talks about the win that Green Bay had against Arizona, and it's true. It was an impressive win. You didn't have Davante Adams. You didn't have Lazard. You didn't have MVS. So you won without your top three receivers. It's very impressive. If A.J. Green doesn't run a run-blocking route on a fourth-down passing play with, like, no time left, Arizona probably wins that game. So
sure.
They're a very, very good team. I just wonder in the postseason, are they going to be a team that you feel good about? Like, if they play against the Packers or the Bucks in the postseason, what's the line on those games? If they're playing the Packers, even if they're at home. Let's say the Cardinals are at home. You're playing against the Packers. You're playing against the Bucks. Who's favored in those games?
Well, probably. I mean, right now, the way the Packers are playing, the Packers. You know, like, and I'm with you on trusting the Bucks. If the Bucks get themselves together, then they'd probably be like a slight favorite in that game too. I will say that the Bucks, I mean, and the thing is that when you go back to last year and even around this time, maybe by this time they really kind of started to get on a roll. But even as of like late November, they looked bad last year. So knowing that, you're like, okay.
Well, they were 7-5 at one point.
They were 7-5. They had some ugly losses. Obviously, the Saints just took them apart. But they had Brady. They had a loaded roster. They have those same things. So I'm with you. They're probably as trustworthy as anybody. But like if you watch them play, they don't look great. So it's not like you just can just snap your fingers and automatically it's going to happen. Just like last year is going to happen again this year.
Even with the Pharaoh?
Well, hey, I'd rather have him than most quarterbacks in the league. He's still very good. He's got huge numbers. But their defense has been underwhelming in a lot of ways.
Their secondary's too. In trouble right now.
Yeah.
Like their secondary – I mean, their secondary was the most vulnerable part of their defense last year, but it was still it was covered up by everything else.
Right. Didn't matter because quarterbacks couldn't set up in the pocket.
Right. I mean, their secondary's a problem right now. Now, when you have the pass rush that they have when healthy, that covers up a lot of things. But you can throw the ball down the field on Tampa Bay. If your line can give you some time, which is a big if, but if they can, they are susceptible down the field.
I mean, the Colts, and this has been a huge talking point in Indy, is like Frank Reich's play calling because they, I don't know, I guess they passed it 26 straight plays or something like that. But the thing is, the Bucs were loading the box and were stopping Jonathan Taylor. And when the Colts turned it over to Carson Wentz is when they took over the game.
Yeah.
And, yes, I mean, a fantastic play to change the game and pick Wentz off on that deep shot to Pittman. But they were doing whatever they wanted to, throwing the ball in that game. So, that said, yeah, I mean, they'd have to be high on the list of most trustworthy teams. I'll tell you what, I would put over some of these teams that are like, cause I don't, like even like the whole AFC North, I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
I would put the Colts right now higher on the list than a lot of these teams because again, I feel like they're good on D, they're physical, they have a good running back. I mean, the part you don't trust is although he's overall played well, he still makes that oh, what are you doing mistake, Wentz. It's so weird you go from Rivers to Wentz. Kind of yeah. The same sort of thing. You can have a great game, and on like on 29 of your 30 throws or whatever, 28 of your 32 throws, like you couldn't do it better. But then the one or two that you're just like, what are you doing?
It's real bad.
That'll cost you.
That will cost you.
That's hard to trust.
You asked me this question 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, the L.A. Rams are near the top of the list. I still think they're going to be fine. Like, I think Stafford's hurt, and they're not saying anything about it, but he just doesn't look right. Like, he missed guys the other day by, like, literally 5 yards, and you're like, okay. Like, I know Stafford, he's got a great arm. He's not always been the best decision maker. I mean, there are times he lets it go, and you're like, it probably wasn't a good idea to let that ball go, but he looks like he might be dealing with something right now.
Yeah, well, then that's hard to trust if he is.
Yeah.
But I think their defense is
it's a concern.
Yeah, it's confusing me a bit. They're too talented on that side of the ball to be playing the way they're playing.
I don't understand. Like, they're basically just saying, Jalen Ramsey, we're going to move you around, do different things. And, like, when you play against a team that's got an elite receiver, I would rather them just put the guy on the elite receiver. Now, he was on Davante Adams. They went 5 for 5 against him the other day for – like 80 yards. So some people you just can't cover. We found that out the other day.
I mean, seriously. And it's not like, you know, obviously if you travel, that means that you're okay, that you're committing to playing man or some kind of weird junk defense. So, but that's kind of eye-opening. 5 for 5, 80 yards. Well,
it's best receiver in the game.
I mean, in most cases, if you take the best receiver in the game against the best corner in the game in the NFL in most years or eras, I'll take the guy who knows what he's doing on a particular play.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like I remember back in the day, Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders.
That's right.
That was a great battle.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What team do you trust in the NFL? Is there anyone you trust in the NFL? Hit up our text line, 615-737-1025. 1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, my friend Andrew joins me to tell us all about it from Hillside Medical Clinic. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. Yeah, that's right. This is changing the game. If you're struggling with ED, or maybe you just want to improve performance in the bedroom, we do a lot of that. Hillside Medical uses a technology called wave therapy. It opens up and regrows blood vessels with gentle pressure waves. A session is only 10 minutes. You might need a few of them. We have helped so many men get rid of the erectile dysfunction. The spontaneity comes back into the bedroom.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on the wave therapy technology?
Well, that is what is so impressive. There are 50 third-party studies now from universities, hospitals, journals, and so many others. I think it's irrefutable, frankly. You can go to hillsidemedicalclinic.com and read those. The science is definitely sound.
And Andrew, you have a special offer for our listeners if they call in right now.
If you're ready to regain your love life, and by the way, your treatments would be done by Christmas, a great gift for your significant other, call us now. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound, it's free this morning, plus a gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You guys will love it. It's worth the trip, worth hundreds of dollars. It's free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You heard it. You could put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer. 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you here in about 25 minutes or so coming up at 8:45. Make sure you also play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be joined by Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, coming up here at 8:30. So here in about 11 minutes or so, looking forward to that conversation. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Frank texting in, do you see the Titans getting the one seed and the first round bye, or do you see them at a number two or number three seed? Does this all rely on whether or not Derrick Henry comes back? This coming from Frank on the text line.
I've been pretty strongly in the camp of Derrick Henry not coming back in the regular season. I don't know that as a fact, but I mean the timeline dictates that it's possible. I have a hard time seeing. I mean, to me, it's like you have to be as cautious as possible, and bring him back when you absolutely have to have him. You should be able to be in the postseason without him. So I don't see, especially as you mentioned, the one seed, you get that and you get another off week. You get an actual bye. You get a bye in the first round of the playoffs when everybody can use the word and be correct.
I'm not going to use it that week, but that's cool.
That week you'll use idle. Yeah. But so I wouldn't look for that, but I don't know that to be true. It may be that a week after, you know, the healing time period of the bone, that it's like he's all the way, he's fine, he's good. Incredible healer. Put him back out there. Why not? I'd be surprised. As far as can they get the – yeah, I think they can get the one. I think if – you're probably right, Robbie, about your number, which is 12, and obviously that would take 4-1. 12 probably gets it done. 13 is, to me, the way you'd feel great about it. I mean, I think if anybody gets a 13 –
you're 13, you're getting the one seed.
That's the one seed. I think 12, you might have a multi-team tie. Titans have some tiebreakers. They obviously are lacking one with the Patriots. And then it would go to other things. But they absolutely are in there for that. You beat Jacksonville, you get to 9-4, and then you go to play a Pittsburgh team that'll be fighting for its playoff life and has at times looked like the Steelers and has at times looked like something way less than that. So that could also be your one loss, although I think the Niners are probably the best team playing currently that the Titans still have on their schedule.
Caleb texting in, they said early January he's expected back, talking about Derrick Henry. So, look, maybe a warm-up contest against the Texans.
Yeah, who's they?
Who said he's
– I mean, the guy who broke the story says he's out for the year.
Yeah.
So,
which, by the way, Bill Barnwell doubled down on in that report we read about Tannehill yesterday. With Derrick Henry expected out for the season, I was just like, what are y'all doing, man? What's going on here?
It's incredible. It's incredible. But, yeah, I mean, there's no they saying, here, I know this is going to happen. It's just not – it doesn't exist right now. So, but doctors who – okay, internally, there's hope that he'll play. Doctors will tell you that after the six-week healing process, you have so much to figure out after that with the rehab and how he's feeling. And when it's a 6'3", 250-pound guy and a tiny little bone that now has pins in it or that now has screws in it in his foot – you can see where you want to be awfully careful there.
Yeah. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in, I trust the Jags and Lions to combine for zero total wins the rest of the way. Zero total wins the rest of the way.
I mean, are you sure?
I think the Jags can get one. I mean, look. I don't feel great about Titans-Jags right now. Like, if you tell me, like, the exact same roster that's going to be out there after this week that we just saw against the Patriots, I would not feel great about that game if I'm the Titans, even with some guys coming back. Like, we've already done this twice this year of the, okay, well, the Titans playing the Jets this week, or okay, the Titans playing the Texans this week. I'm not doing that again. I've learned my lesson on that front.
Yeah, and of course we've also done, okay, well, go out and get crushed by the Rams.
Yeah.
Okay, Bills, you know, maybe you can hang in that game. But, yeah, let's see, the Jags – I don't know, man. The Jags have the Texans coming in on December 19th at a revenge intra-division game. Also, the Jags and the Jets. So
they can win a couple more.
I don't know that I trust that. I trust the Lions. I'm not even looking at the Lions schedule.
They've already wrapped up the number one pick. Everybody else has at least two wins. The Lions are 0-10-1. They're not winning two games.
I can't imagine. But, I mean, I think that they have a real chance to be – oh, what an amazing record that would be.
0-16.
Oh, that's right. 0-16-1. So it's like it really would be kind of outdoing the Rod Marinelli year because you're 0-16, but then you tack on a tie, which is just such a terrible thing that it even exists that you can get a tie.
Well, the thing is, like, they should have won like at least three or four games up to this point. They just totally screwed it up.
The mighty Ravens, the number one seed in the AFC, it still makes no sense that they beat the Lions that day.
I got a texture that says, I trust the Patriots to not beat themselves. That's the formula for today's NFL. They are very good at not turning the ball over and playing good defense for the most part.
That's fair.
Now, the question is, like, at some point, like, you're probably going to have to do more than just not beat yourself, especially when playoff time comes around. Like, when you're playing the Buffaloes and the Kansas Cities and maybe the healthy Titans of the world, like, it's going to take more than just not beating yourself, you would think, in a playoff game. There's got to be some plays that you make down the field.
Exactly, and that's how I look at the Patriots is they're going to be in, and it's been a great coaching year for Belichick, and I think Mac Jones is a promising young quarterback. And you get into some of those games. I don't know. I never would bet on the rookie quarterback in those games. Because you do need more.
Indy Ben texting in, if Frank Reich wouldn't overthink it and go away from their identity with Taylor, I trust the Colts to do some damage in the playoffs. It's when he's asked Wentz to throw the ball 40-plus times that they've given away games, which obviously increases the chances of a costly interception or sack fumble scenario. When Tampa Bay didn't need to worry about the running game as Reich took Taylor off the field, they were able to key in on Wentz and the passing game. Frank Reich under some heat this weekend in Indianapolis.
Well, it's been really interesting. And, you know, like Stephen Holder, friend of the show, wrote a piece about it. And, I mean, honestly, I got to say, look, I think like the idea of not of going that many plays in a row without giving Taylor the ball, I think that's a mistake. But I mean, look at the game. The Bucs were doing a great job. The way that they were playing defense, you do have to take what the defense gives you. The Colts did. They switched to throwing the ball over the yard, and they were killing them. And including, by the way, the 4th-and-1 call where he brings in Taylor in a jumbo package and he sprints out and throws to T.Y. Hilton.
No, that was close.
It was close. And that would have been a total, like, Frank Reich, what are you doing moment, but they scored. I mean, you're right. You increase the chances of those turnovers that you had happening, but I don't know that the game's close if you don't put the game more in Wentz's hands, if that makes sense. I think he's taking too much crap for this particular game. I think in the Titans game, I would agree more with that sentiment that I think that they should have forced it a little more to Taylor.
Ryan in Nashville texting in, I trust the Packers to win it all this year, especially with Alexander and Za'Darius Smith coming back soon, along with the offense still not playing their best football as of yet. They are the one team that you look at and say, all right, they're about to get some guys back, and they're already 9-3. Now, it doesn't always play out that way, that makes you necessarily better, but they do have David Bakhtiari coming back. They got some big guys coming back down the stretch.
If only they could figure out a way to beat Captain Kirk and the Vikings.
Yes. They got one more shot at him.
They do.
We'll see how
revenge
that goes.
Games.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The Battle of the Boulevard taking place tonight between Lipscomb and Belmont. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach. Casey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And Casey, obviously this is a huge game here in this area in Middle Tennessee between Lipscomb and Belmont. What does this game mean to you and to your program coming up tonight against Lipscomb?
Yeah, it's got a lot of layers to it. First and foremost, just two teams that have been playing for a long time and two good teams, and a game that matters to a lot of people. So, you know, and I'll say that we've got our hands full. Lipscomb's been playing really well. They're literally the number one team in the country in offensive efficiency, and so we better figure out how to guard some guys if we want to win.
Yeah, and of course, Casey, you know, a kid you recruited to Lipscomb. I mean, first of all, I'm frankly in this day and age, like, I'm thrilled to see Asana Sajula still at Lipscomb and playing the way he is. I think it's just awesome, you know, to see things like that and to see, because I don't know. You could tell me better, but I would just suspect that there would have been a lot of programs interested in him. And obviously we know how things go in this sport, but what do you think of him right now as a player and his progress over the years, and maybe even compared to what you thought when you recruited him to Lipscomb?
Yeah, I love Asan. I mean, a great kid, a really loyal person, as you can see just by the fact that he has stayed around when others definitely did come calling behind closed doors. And, you know, but it speaks a lot to just kind of what kind of person he is. And his development over the 5 years now that he's been there, I'm not surprised by it at all, but he is really a dominating player. I mean, it's amazing. He probably has more touches in a game than anybody in the country. The offense runs through him, and it goes through him on multiple occasions each possession sometimes, and he's just a load, you know, a guy that with that kind of size and strength that can pass it the way that he does, that can even put the ball on the floor the way that he does, and he scores at a really high percentage. He's a great weapon to have.
And I mean, you saw that that passing feel right away, like as a freshman you could see it. Would you say that, and I know obviously Jacob Ignacevic is a huge pickup for them. I mean, those two guys are averaging 17 plus. Veteran guard Greg Jones. But would you say that is it almost reminiscent of like Draymond Greenish a little bit with the Warriors? You know, like in terms of, you know, like a big who sort of directs your offense when you're in the half court.
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, like I said, everything goes through him. He's not gonna. You know, it's going to have to be a transition score, you know, for for there to be a possession where he doesn't have the ball and he's not directing traffic, so to speak. I think the area where they have improved so much is when he's not in the game, they have other weapons that can score. You mentioned Ognacevic, and then Tommy Murr has been great off the bench as well. And so they've got complementary pieces that they haven't had the last couple of years, and that's really helped them for the entire 40 minutes.
Casey, what did you think about your team and your trip down to Florida? Obviously two big wins against Drake and Iona, and then a tough one against Dayton, a heartbreaker against Dayton. What did you think overall of your trip down to Florida?
I really liked our competitiveness. I mean, I felt like we were dialed in for the better part of those 120 minutes where we played. We naturally played three really good teams, and all games could have gone either way. And so, you know, I was pleased to get out of there with a couple of wins. You always want more, and so disappointed we didn't find a way to beat Dayton. But Dayton's playing extremely well right now, and it was a great game. And somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose.
So would you say, because it's obviously you never know how these tournaments are going to work out. You know, there were other upsets, of course, so you may have expected to play different people based on winning. But, I mean, I feel like Iona is a win that's going to, you know, going to absolutely carry for you. I mean, I feel like both those wins, you know, Drake is a really good team. Like, would you say right now you guys have played such a challenging schedule? You've gone to Ohio. You've gone to LSU. Now this tournament. How do you feel about, and of course the huge win over Furman, how do you feel about sort of the goal, partial goal, of, you know, doing enough on a resume to where if things don't turn out well in the OVC that you would have a strong enough resume?
Yeah, well, first of all, I feel tired. It's been, you know, we've shot out like a rocket for the first month of the season, but it is what we signed up for. And I do think it'll help us, regardless of what it means for postseason and so forth. I mean, we are going to be so well prepared for the OVC, and we got a lot of those caliber games left, honestly, and tonight being one of them. So, but I feel like you know, it has prepared us well. I think it's what this team needed. You know, with the experience that we have and the expectations, I feel like we needed to play a schedule this way. You know, and then what it means in the end, I mean, Joe, who really knows? I mean, it can only help us as long as we continue to win some of them or most of them. If we don't win most of them, it's not going to matter.
I mean, Lipscomb looks really good. You got St. Louis coming up. I mean, Chattanooga's really – now I'm actually more tired thinking even of what you have ahead of you before you get the OVC. I mean, it really – is this the most challenging, you know, non-league schedule you will have played as a coach?
Yeah, probably. When you look at it that way, I mean, you know, Drake is picked to win the Missouri Valley. Iona's picked to win their league. Chattanooga's picked to win their league, and Furman a very, very close second behind them. St. Louis is predicted to be a bubble team. They'll finish really high in the A-10 with an at-large bid possibility of their own. LSU's a top 25 team and as talented literally as anybody in the country, and so you can keep stacking them up, you know. And then we got a game like tonight. We got a game Saturday at Samford, who beat us last year. It was our only regular season loss last year was Samford, and so that won't be easy either. But, you know, it's part of what makes it fun. You know, like I said, we signed up for it, so no use complaining about it.
Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Casey, you brought up the experience of your group. I'm curious from your vantage point, what's it like coaching this group in terms of, obviously, you're talking about guys that have played a lot of basketball for you. They've been in a lot of big game situations. What's it been like coaching such an experienced group like this so far?
Yeah, it's been interesting for sure. You know, I don't have to spend very much time speaking to philosophy and the mental side of the game, bouncing back from a tough loss or bouncing back from a big win, you know, those kinds of things, because you can trust your players a little bit more to really understand what it's all about. And the psychology of coaching is a big part of it, you know, much bigger than the X's and O's part of it. And so I don't have to worry about that nearly as much as I would in an ordinary season.
So Casey, Ben Shepherd, obviously, I mean, you know, we've been talking about him for years, and he is, it seems like he's coming into his own. I'm just wondering with Ben, and then with Will Richard, the freshman, who's been really good so far, you know, how would you, it just seems like you now you have wings, you know, with size and athleticism who can match up better against different kinds of teams than maybe you've had. And then, of course, we know what Grayson and Mazinski bring What is that dynamic with those two in particular, and what does that do for you?
Yeah, it helps us a lot. I mean, they can guard a lot of people. Will Richard is an unbelievable rebounder for a perimeter player. He had 14, I think maybe 13 or 14 defensive rebounds in that Drake game to open up our time in Orlando. And so, you know, the future is bright there. And they're complementary players. I mean, they play on both ends of the floor. They can both make threes. They can both finish at the rim. They both have the athleticism, you know, to play against anybody. And so I'm really excited about those two guys. And then, you know, we've got some missing pieces. I mean, Jacoby Wood, a lot of people don't know, he missed the 9 weeks of our preseason, literally up until our first game with a dislocated ankle. But so he's still working his way back, but he's an important part of our team as well, and among others.
So Casey, we've talked about Asajula and the challenge that he's going to bring to you guys tonight, but most people probably don't know this. Lipscomb leads the entire country in three-point percentage right now, 44.5%. So what sort of a challenge with the inside and outside game is this going to present for your group tonight?
Yeah, and a lot of that three-point percentage is the result of Asan and having to figure out a way to stop him and his ability to pass. A high-assist guy for sure as a post player. It creates an unbelievable problem. They're actually number one in the country in effective field goal percentage, which includes twos and threes. So they're the best of the best, and that's no surprise. Lenny Acuff is as good of a basketball coach as there is anywhere. So we have to, you know, there are a lot of layers to what they do offensively that require recognition and readiness and everything else. You know, but you also have to, you know, which creates a tendency to kind of play on your heels and be worried about what's coming. But you almost have to take the opposite approach and just really dig your heels in and go get them and play with confidence on the defensive end.
Well, it's gonna be awesome, you know, there's so many great games you guys have played already, so many to come. I will say, Casey, we've talked about this, and I want to see something happen. Like, what is it gonna take to get some kind of an invitational or tournament or something with all the great programs? I know everybody can't play everybody, but I want to see you guys play Vanderbilt. You know, I'd like to see you play Memphis. Of course, I think a lot of people might want to play Memphis today after last night. You may not want to play them, but just say, like, what do we need to do to have something here where we have either a tournament, an invitation, or something so we can get more of these programs playing each other?
Yeah, it's a good question and very valid. And it's a tournament that I would sign up for. I'd be the first one to sign up for it, I'll put it that way. But it's just not that easy. You probably have to lock us in a room and not let anybody out until we hammered out the details, like the work stoppage in baseball, would be my guess. But it's just it makes sense. It makes too much sense on the surface, but it's a little harder to pull off than one might think.
Yeah. Well, but that's a good idea, though. We're gonna work on that because it's. I mean, it would be fantastic for the
Commissioner
sport.
Rex Rhodes.
There we go. Hey, yep. That's fine.
God, that's a terrifying thought. Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Casey, really looking forward to the game tonight. Appreciate you so much for taking time to join us this morning.
You guys take care. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, does a tremendous job with that program. Looking forward to the Battle of the Boulevard tonight. Two really good teams here in the Middle Tennessee area.
It's got to happen.
I agree.
That was a great question, Joe.
Well, thank you. And there's history. First of all, I got to give credit. Like, the first written out sort of plan for this, Steve Cavendish wrote something. And then for the Tennessee, and I mean, I try to give him credit. Like, I came up with an idea. There's a lot of different ways you could do it. But you get Middle in there. You get Lipscomb-Belmont. You get TSU. You get Vanderbilt. I mean, you could take UT Memphis. I mean, you could have an incredible event.
Throw in some women's teams.
Well, absolutely. No question. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It is difficult because everybody has their own schedules and people want to be in these exempt tournaments like Belmont was just in. So it's not as simple as that. But I've got to think there's a way to make this happen.
Commissioner Rex Rhode.
That sounds like a great idea,
oh
doesn't
gosh.
It?
Gosh, yeah, it sounds
that
awesome.
That just made Joe's head get big. He's like, oh, yeah, I take it.
Commissioner of Life. How about
well,
that?
Okay, that's a lot.
You know, there's
Rex
Rhode
and
life.
Butch together again. Be good stuff.
I miss him.
I know. Me too. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Boston Bruins. Be caller number one at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number one. If you get your guess right on who will score a goal scorer, my God. who will be a goal scorer for the Predators tonight. You will win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Boston Bruins. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. Joe Rex Road did not get credit for all four the other night for Philip Forsberg, but he did get credit for one.
That's BS.
Well, that's the way it is, buddy.
Just kidding.
I'll take
the dub.
Joe Rexrode in first place with 6 correct answers. The listeners with 4. So in second place, Michelle Knezovic with 3. Robbie Stanley with 2 so far in the competition.
Thank you, Phil. Forgot to thank him yesterday when we had him on.
Yes, you did. So with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in today's participant, Chris in Gallatin. Chris, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
So, Chris, who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators against the Bruins?
I'm going the easy route with Forsberg.
I think after the last game, that's probably a pretty solid pick. Chris, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Philip Forsberg, the selection by Chris. I cannot say that I'm surprised by that one. 4 goals the other night. I guess some faith that he didn't use it all up there.
Yep. And, I mean, right now, the Preds have 2 obvious picks. That should go 1-2 every time. So who gets the 2?
Me, Matt Duchene.
There you go.
I'm going with Matt Duchene in the competition days. So Forsberg and Duchene are off the board. Michelle Knezovic up next. No Duchene, no Forsberg.
Well, there were my 1 and 2 choices, and I'm sure Joe's too. But I think I'm going to go back to my roots, Ryan Johansson.
Ryan.
It's time. It's been a couple games. We're back home. Well, I guess we were home the other night, but still. Joey all the way.
Ryan Johansson, he's doling out the assists right now. He's got assists in 6 straight. So doing what he typically does, distributing the puck pretty well to other people. But Johansson, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. Duchene, Johansson, Forsberg off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I think I'm going to stick with the hot line. And I'm going to say that Granlund, after having an incredible night of creating for others, will bury one and say, oh, wait, here I am. I think I'll take this shot and score. So give me Mikael Granlund.
They could do like the Ole defense on him. They did a couple weeks ago where he wins the faceoff and turns around.
He's like, oh.
It's like the seas parting. It's just, oh, cool. I'll take this shot. No big deal.
When you create like he does, you get those opportunities sometimes. Johansson's had them. There are times when we've said, that's where you shoot the puck.
Shoot the puck, buddy. Done a better job of that this year.
So we're heavily focused on one line and then, you know, the top center of the other line and ignoring everybody else. No one ever picks Trenin.
I know. I picked him once.
You picked him once.
I picked him once. Let's not go with no one.
Trenin's got some juice.
I just want to point out so far this year, I have picked Matthias Ekholm. I have picked Trenin. And I have picked Tanner Jeannot in the competition.
How's that worked out for you?
I'm also in last place.
I think I've picked 2 players, Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene.
I think that has been Michelle's repertoire this year.
Oh, actually, I did pick Roman Josi last time.
That's true. That did happen.
Well, you're not in last.
I am.
I'm never in last.
I'm always in last in pick-to-click competitions, no matter what it is.
You'll be in last in something. Someday,
never.
Yes, you will. Just like me in fantasy football.
I am not in last in that.
No.
I actually made it to the playoffs. Robbie told me.
Well, you're not in there yet. You were in a playoff spot, and then she did not dress a lineup the other day. There's like 3 people.
So you're out of it now?
She's not out. Like, she's out of a playoff spot at the moment.
I had like A.J. Brown, Dalvin Cook like all starting.
Yeah,
it was just.
It happens. You are the commissioner, though, right?
That's correct.
The commish should be devoted to the integrity of the league.
That's right.
I also had a called shot that I was just going to like blow by everybody and go undefeated in the fantasy league. That obviously is not
happening.
I mean,
I think you're going to dominate, right? It'd be a
huge
upset.
I'm 11-1. I can fully anticipate me finishing out the rest of the regular season undefeated and then in my first playoff matchup, biting one. But, yeah.
Robbie, I mean, this is the last week of the regular season, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Robbie, who'd you lose to?
I mean, you, but I've won 11 games in a row, and then I beat you.
That's all that matters.
Oh, you've already won the return
yes.
day? Yeah, okay. Well. But you still have the dub.
That is true.
Exactly. Holding on to that one.
Preds Pick the Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Chris selecting Philip Forsberg. I'm going with Matt Duchesne. Joe with Mikhail Granlund. Michelle with Ryan Johansson. Good luck in the competition. Interesting to see how the Predators respond tonight. You got a big win, 6-0, in a game where that was pretty much over heading into the third period. How do you respond against a pretty good Boston team tonight that has some firepower to it? What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. Gregory Anderson has just done the Reface app with you and me as Hall and Oates, and pretty disturbing and awesome, but disturbing. You as Oates is something else, man.
Yeah, is it on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. You're tagged in it. The Reface app is pretty amazing.
Do you think, have you downloaded the Reface app? Is this something that you're going to get into?
No.
It's so fun. I have it.
I think Rex Rowe could do some damage there.
I can't. I already don't have the bandwidth for like half the apps that are on my phone, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But, Gregory, that is some excellent work. Have you seen it?
No.
I'll find it. Just look at it. Seriously.
It's so real looking, which is scary.
I actually look kind of like Daryl Hall. I never really realized that. Okay. Like Daryl, you know, like that hair would suit me. Maybe I should grow my hair out.
I don't know that John Oates has ever looked better.
Like if John Oates were to see this, I wonder what he would think.
I don't know if he'd be a friend of the show anymore.
He'd be afraid.
Taylor from Fort Campbell texting into our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Waiting for Rex Road to change his Twitter name to Commissioner Rex Road. Is that on the table for you?
Or maybe just the commish.
The commish?
How about that?
Could be.
But I'm the commish.
You are the commish of a league that you are neglecting. So we need to do a little work on that.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
It's kind of like Roger Goodell.
Hey, there you go.
Right, yeah.
How about MLB in a lockout? All right.
Good stuff going on right now. Jim Wyatt putting this out. Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, currently second in the NFL in the Pro Bowl vote from fans at his position, behind only Aaron Donald of the Rams. So Jeffrey Simmons getting some Pro Bowl love right now so far in the competition.
Well, he deserves it. And it's also – it's interesting because, you know, when they had the player vote for Jeffrey Simmons – I guess it was the GM confidential story?
Yeah.
Where whoever, you know, someone anonymously said he's the closest thing to Aaron Donald. And at that point, I was like, is he?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. There is a little bit of a an absence of, like, great interior D linemen right now.
Yeah, although since the Chiefs have moved Chris Jones back in there.
Well, he's a stud when he plays inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good players, but I guess I feel like there have been more stars at that position at different time periods, and now it's like Aaron Donald and the Donaldettes.
Yeah.
But Jeff Simmons, he deserves that.
Aaron Donald and the Donaldettes.
Like that?
By the way, Kevin Byard currently first in the NFL at his position. So,
I mean, he deserves it too. Yep. He made huge plays this year.
When we come back, we'll switch gears, get back into a little college football talk. Chris Vanini from The Athletic will join us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.